Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Bring a little sunshine indoors with the exciting new arrivals in store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and a very welcome to Liveline. Five one is our text number. It's all about electric picnic, left, right and centre. As you can hear, a couple of questions we asked the RSA, the Road Safety Authority, funded by you, the taxpayer, through the various other schemes they run, the NCT, the driver theory test, the driver test, the driving test itself, which you pay handsomely for, and that's where your money is going, as well as a government grant. We asked the RSA how much they are paying electric picnic. As you know, it's 300 quid into the electric picnic for the weekend, at least, to see Kylie and the Wolf Tones. But 300 quid in, and the RSA are paying electric picnic to let them in, to tell young people to be careful driving. The RSA are paying electric picnic to go onto the site where people have already paid 300 quid to deliver a public service announcement. Will the RSA, this public body, tell you how much they're paying electric picnic? No, because why? They say it is commercially sensitive. Now, David Walsh, chemist. David, you've skin in this game as well. Now, let's be blunt here, haven't you, David?
Absolutely, yeah, we do.
We're playing senior hurling here.
We're playing senior hurling.
I know EP, they love their publicity, and they get acres of publicity here in RTE.
Yep.
Free, and seldom people mention the cost of getting in. And then afterwards, if there is a problem, which invariably ends up in Liveline, you won't get any satisfaction because they're gone for another year. Now, by the way, tickets are on sale for next year as well. You are the owner of Baddy Kilcavan, that's your beer. You're jumping on this bandwagon because you want to get publicity for Baddy Kilcavan beer.
Well, to be honest, this all started last year. So, yeah. I mean, the story is we have, as you say, a very small brewery on our family farm, 3 kilometres from the site of the electric picnic.
Okay.
I was fed up of going into town and everyone saying, where's your bar in the electric picnic? Because we're so close and award-winning beers, massive sustainability focus here, everyone just assumed we had a bar in there. So to stop those conversations and to be able to talk about something else, I put out a very factual video last year saying, we're not allowed into the electric picnic. The reason is because the world's second largest brewing company provides sponsorship, and as part of that, they get exclusivity, and no one else is allowed.
Okay, so Heineken,
and that took off.
Yeah, but Heineken basically. Heineken basically have a monopoly when they get
correct.
In there.
Yes.
They bought that monopoly, and
correct. Yeah.
And it also means they can charge what 9-10 euro a pint in a plastic.
I think I'm not able to go in anyway, but I don't buy the beers when I am in there. But yeah, I mean, the problem is that this is the situation all across the country. It's not just the electric picnic.
Yeah, I know.
The way the system works is that festivals, events, sports stadia, gigs, one-off events, all across the country, what happens is, and it's not just breweries, but it's big breweries, big spirits companies, ice cream companies, big coffee companies come in, buy the exclusivity, and the local businesses, as you say, the festival rocks up here, clogs the town up for 5 days, and then disappears off again. We're here 52 weeks a year supporting local families and local jobs in the local community, and we can't get in there. So, like, really what we're looking for is, obviously, we would like to get access in there. And that's not to say that we want to replace Heineken, because we could never do that.
I know that. But the RSA, have paid to go in.
Absolutely, and we would have to pay to go in as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously,
no,
the RSA have taxpayers' money, so they can do what they want with it there, and they won't even tell us how much they paid to get in.
Absolutely. Well, if we ever get in, Joe, I'm more than happy to tell you what we paid to get in. But all
now,
we're looking
now,
for
okay,
is
you're,
one bar in there.
Okay, but David, you say we're here all year round. The electric picnic every year is subject to license and planning permission.
Absolutely.
Isn't that correct? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So does the local?
That's really what we're looking for.
Yeah, but hang on. Does the local council of your local, comprised of, I know there's administration, all the care. The local council give permission at a festival where they can operate a monopoly within that within that event. I presume they can.
That's the problem. You see, it's completely legal. I mean, I would say it's wildly anti-competitive, but it's perfectly legal.
Okay.
So
we also know from calls we've got, and we'll get more of them today, hopefully, that if small beer, we're talking about beer, and it's not small beer, I take your point, but if small craft beers try and get into a pub, if you get into a pub, there have been occasions where the big boys have gone in and offered the public in money to take out small beers, to get them off the shelves.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's pretty rampant. And the problem from our point of view is it's very hard to get evidence for that because it's all under the counter. And so very hard to go to someone the competitive authority to do something about that. But that's absolutely rampant across
the
country.
But you have to hand it to Electric Picnic. They have invented the biggest money spinner, which is within their gift
of course,
this year. The headline act is Kylie.
Yep.
I can... What happened
well,
to
you
killers?
And I are both old enough to appreciate Kylie, I think, Joe.
No, I'm old enough not to appreciate Kylie. But that's not. And I'm old enough not to appreciate the Wolf Tones either. I'm intelligent enough not to appreciate the Wolf Tones. But that's neither here nor there at the minute. They charge, it's 300 quid in. And then if you want to go glamping, or the prices are pretty steep when you go in. And apparently this year, 75,000 tickets were sold.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a great business model because, as you say, they're going to put tickets back on sale on, you know, sometime next week. Yeah. No one will have the faintest idea what the lineup is, and I'm sure it'll sell out again.
Yeah, okay, well, that's life. Stay there, David. Hannah, you want to comment on the RSA. What was your issue with the RSA?
I applied for my driving test this time last year, Joe, and I've been subject to wait times of over 15 weeks. The RSA has been quite happy to take my payments.
They have to pay to get into Electric Picnic. You're helping them get into Electric Picnic, Anna. You're very good.
So the way that the system currently works is that you pay the money to be joined to a queue with no indication of when your test will actually be. And it's been quite disruptive to my life the past year. I've been trying to get on the roads. I had a test in May that I waited 15 weeks for, and the car was running fine, but a bulb had gone on the car that morning.
And
A bulb had gone, yeah.
Were you driving in daylight?
No. Oh, yeah, I was. So the test was taking place in daytime, but I wasn't able to go through with the test after waiting over 30 weeks to get to this test. Bearing in mind, my mum had to accompany me. She was kind enough to accompany me down to the test centre.
Okay. Follow the money, Hannah, with the RSA. Did you pay for the driving test?
Yeah, so I paid for that driving test. The bulb had gone, obviously, bad timing on, you know, just as I approached
things happen,
the test.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was fine. I was fine with that.
Did you get your money back?
No, so I said to him, "Well, I have to pay another 85," and he said, "I'm afraid so. I don't make the rules."
Wow.
So that's not what I'm upset about. You know, I was fine with that. I was actually willing to.
Well,
take
you
that
take
on
a
the
day
chin.
Off, or you anyway.
I was willing to take that payment on the chin, but the problem was it's been 15 weeks since I got that bulb replaced that day within 20 minutes, and I immediately paid the €85, hoping that I would get a test, and it's now been another almost 15 weeks and I'm still waiting on a test.
Okay. Well, the RSA are obviously too busy doing deals with Electric Picnic that they won't tell anyone about, so they can go in and tell young people if you lose your licence, you lose your independence. That's the slogan. Your name can't be Giggles the Clown. Johnny, what is your real name in real life? I'm not putting someone on with the name Giggles the Clown. What's your name?
It is Giggles the Clown here, Joe.
John.
And you know,
yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll call you. Your name is John.
Right.
Okay. But you spotted something about this message in that the RSA are paying Electric Picnic to go in and put up their posters. Lose your license, lose your independence. Go ahead, John. Giggles.
Okay. I never had a driving license in my life. I never drove a car in my life. I travel everywhere around this glorious country of ours by public transport.
Yeah.
And I don't think I lose my independence. Now, I think I have my independence.
Oh, good point. Okay. Keep going. I didn't think of that angle.
I think I have my independence fully in that I can travel anywhere I want to go. I was down at the Fla Ceoil in Wexford there last week. And I travelled as clown on bus and went down. The buses could go right into the centre of the town, got off and was able to get on the bus again afterwards and get back home, no problem at all. If you buses every hour with different private services and everything there now as well, okay, which is fantastic. I think our transport system is fantastic.
Getting better, yeah.
and people don't need to use cars.
Okay, and
why the RSA functions as a national authority, learner drivers are paying customers. So given the fees involved, I think we're entitled to a level of service that respects our time and financial investment. It's not really about whether or not the public transport is sufficient. If you're paying your money,
the point is that they're saying lose your license, lose your independence. I mean, like, I don't have a license, but I still see myself as independent.
Good point. Good point.
Yeah.
And the other thing as well is, the RSA is a state body. They're saying lose your license, lose your independence, which you're saying, okay, it's a slogan, and they seem to come out with a new gimmick every single day, and they get loads of positive publicity around it, the RSA, and they won't answer then. They won't come on live line when we ask them how much are you paying Electric Picnic to get onto the site, that people have paid £300 to get onto the people that you are targeting. But that's life. That's the world we live in. But Johnny's point is, and it's been made to me by a number of people recently, you can get the bus, the train, for example, I'm thinking from Dublin, okay, bear with me, Dublin-centric. You get the bus, the train to Killarney, Listowel, Tralee, Wexford, Waterford or whatever. Then there's local bus services and the local link services. Local link. Thanks to the Greens, in fairness, the local link services apparently around the country are absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So on the one hand, we've one arm of the state saying, keep your independence, use public transport. The another arm of the state saying, lose your licence, you lose your independence. Hello. Dermot Canning. Dermot in Cork.
Hi.
51551 joe@rt.ie. Dermot, your point, please.
Okay, so my issue is with the theory test.
Okay.
So basically, when you apply for your theory test and you pass it, you need to score 35 out of 40.
Yeah.
And you've passed. So they do not tell you which questions you got wrong, they do not give you the correct information.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so if you get 39 out of 40, hey,
Dermot, are you sure you're not Giggles the Clown? If Giggles the Clown on the other line, you're saying you pay to do this car theory test, you get 40 multiple choice questions, you need a pass mark of 35, and there's no learning, because if you fail, they won't tell you the questions you got wrong.
No, it's not about if you fail, it's when you pass. So if you get 39 out of 40,
yes,
you pass,
yes,
but you've gotten a question wrong,
they will not give you
the correct answer. Now, if you get 34, you fail, that's fair enough. You go back, you study again, and you reapply. But when you get between 35 and 40 out of 40, you pass. So they allow you out onto the road with incorrect information.
Okay, and by the way, how much is it to do that test, the drive theory test online?
Oh, it's a while since I did it. When I went back to do mine about 8 or 9 years ago, started this thing about the theory test.
Yeah, but hang on, let me see, can I find this here? There's somebody contacted us earlier saying to practice the test, you can download an RSA app. Okay, now to download most apps is free. You know, and even if it's a games app, it's less than a euro. The only official app available to help you pass first time on the RSA website for young drivers costs £17 for an app.
Yeah, but I don't have an issue with that. There's costs that are going to be associated with it. My complete issue is that they allow you out on the road with the wrong information.
Well, that's a good point.
Because when you do the test, you answer your 40 questions,
that's
you think you've got them all right, and then suddenly there's one you got wrong, but you still pass. And they will not give you the correct information.
Yeah.
So effectively, that could be any one of the 40, and they're allowing you back. They're allowing you out on the road with the wrong information, and that's why our young people are being killed on the roads, because they're not being corrected.
That's a very good point. Very, very straightforward point. Hard to believe.
And nobody is telling me why they won't give you. Like, if someone could tell me, why will you not give the correct information? Now, they say that, we tell them to have a look at this section of it or whatever, but that's not enough. Because they have to give people, if they're passing them, if they're failing them, it doesn't matter, go back and study. But if you're being taxed, you have to get the correct information.
An excellent point, Dermot. An excellent point. Reiterate that, the sting of that point. If you to pass the 40 questions, you have to get above 35. If you get 36, you've got 4 wrong, they won't tell you.
They won't tell you which ones you got wrong.
Ah, for God's sake.
And that's for the spirit.
John Moylan. John, okay, come back to me. By the way, people were asking, because I mentioned at 20 to 1 there with Shay about Ted Baker closing. Immediately, they're closing on Tuesday, as far as I know. The reason why people did not know that, and I think people should be told, is because they were specifically told not to put up closing down sign. You can't put up, if you have a concession in BT's, or Arnis or whatever else you have, your Kildare Village or whatever, you were not allowed to put up a sign. I don't know about Kildare Village, but in the concessions you're not allowed to put up a sign saying closing down, because then everyone think, they won't, but everyone might think the whole store is closing. And that means all the staff are going to be gone. The great hardworking staff in Ted Baker, a lot of them have been there for years and years and years. They'll be gone next Tuesday. And the people who go into them on a regular basis are not allowed, it's irrelevant, but they're not even allowed to say goodbye because they won't know they're gone. But Ted Baker have confirmed they are closing immediately in Ireland, every single store, every single concession. And they didn't give a real, well, isn't the whole business in trouble? The whole retail business is in trouble. The whole online world is exploding. People are saying online the cost of rates, rent, various other taxes that you have to pay in Ireland, insurance. But Ted Baker is going. So if you are in Ted Baker, would you say goodbye to the staff and wish them well for a start and hope they do get other employment? John Moylan, back to the RSA. Your point, please, John.
Hi, Joe. Just a small comment. You were saying there at the start or the outset of the discussion about the RSA being charged to exhibit at EP and secondly then about not telling you how much that is. I mean, my first comment would be, I would expect they would be charged to appear at EP just as much as they would if they took a stand in the RDS.
Yeah, but hang on. But hang on, why are they going to Electric Picnic?
Well, I mean, obviously, well, look at it this way. My daughter has just gone in the last hour, heading up to EP with her friends.
Brilliant.
And they're
brilliant.
Gone driving. But hang on,
John, my point is, and by the way, we've asked the RSA to come on. They're on every other programme. Well, they're obviously well challenged by the interviewers, but they never talk to the public. And if you should, they've given me this another War and Peace statement, which I haven't got. I'd lose the will to live if I have to read it all out. But John, if the RSA want to get to your daughter driving, right?
Yeah.
We had the Garda superintendent on in charge of traffic. He said traffic going into the sites, the 4 car parks or whatever, will be slow.
Yeah.
Why can't the RSA employ young people in high vis to stand at every gate going into EP on the public road, on the gateway in, safely, and give every car a leaflet for nothing? Why are they paying, Electric Picnic public money to go in and talk about a campaign which is open to question, as you heard John there earlier, about lose your licence, lose your independence, doesn't address the whole issue of life can go on without a car and you don't need one to especially in the changing Ireland.
I live in a rural community, and I got to tell you, I have 2 adult children, like I said, one's on DP, and no, they couldn't live without a car. So
Okay, well, I take your point that, say, you're a small business or whatever, you've to pay to go into EP, and that's your choice.
Yeah.
You make a business choice. If you could, if your business was such, I don't know what your business was, if you could be as effective standing at the gate of EP, handing out leaflets through the window of every car, and cost you an infinitesimal amount, you would do it. But anyway, John, while I have you on, what do you think?
Yeah.
As you say, you have, is it 3 young people, 2 young people driving?
2.
What brings home to them the worry, the safety call? How can we get through to young people? Insofar as I know there's many reasons for many accidents.
Yeah. Well, my personal experience, and I'm involved in motoring and motor sport and motorcycling my whole life,
which is brilliant, brilliant.
Leading by example. They take it from those around us. If my young fella, he's on a motorbike as well as a car, he wouldn't go across the driveway without his gear, his leather, his boots, his helmet on it.
Yeah.
And he would drive it perfectly. My daughter, you know, is a keen motorist. She likes it and that kind of stuff as well. But they take it from, for, you know, the environment they're brought up in. And it's, it, I would, probably a poor analogy, but it would be like alcohol. Mm-hmm. And people's relationship with alcohol and people's good relationship and bad relationship with alcohol. I would put motoring and the experience of learning about. I would say, I do think in Ireland in particular, we're a little bit late, or we teach them too old about motoring or traffic management.
Yeah,
it should be started earlier, I think. You know, I remember, and you would remember too, but the famous, you know, Safe Cross Code with Judge and Wantedly Wagging characters in it, right? And that's still burned into my brain. I don't think anything as effective of that has been repeated in the 50
Well, it's not for the want of money. The RSA spent €1 million on making one single ad down on Clonakilty TV ad. €1 million.
I know for watching some of the ads, and while they are sobering, some of them, and they certainly are effective, I actually do think they're on at the wrong time. For instance, they had a programme where they jointly with an authority in Northern Ireland made a series of very effective motorcycle safety accident ads. And where did you see them? You saw them on telly at 11 o'clock at night.
Okay, well, that's a different...
You need to get in front of the people, and this brings us back to EP. You got to get in front of the people. I don't doubt that what you say about having leaflet handlers wouldn't do something. But where do most leaflets end up with, Joe? Where do they end up?
Yeah, but I don't. Like, well, my understanding is and I know every young person doesn't drink, but my understanding is that EP is. And now I know there's some fantastic. Again, you have to pay in to get to them. You have to pay £300 to get in to hear brilliant documentary makers like Kieran Cassidy and Aoife, and who made the Mrs. Rabbits, and Aoife Kelleher, to hear them speak. And you shouldn't have to pay in to hear them speak, because they're not being paid, I guarantee. They're not being paid. David Watchcam, is it not fair to say that the EP is a drinking festival, isn't it? Primarily.
I mean, I think, it's a music festival, it's an arts festival. Obviously, there's an awful lot of beer consumed in there. Unfortunately, from our point of view, we don't get a slice of that.
Yeah, but you'd need a lot of beer now to anaesthetise you to listen to the Wolf Tones.
There's some of the acts in
there.
Stay
with us back after this break. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
David Walsh, chemist. David, Baddy Kilcavan beer. By the way, this is what Melvin Ben, is that his name, the owner of Electric Picnic? Does he own Stradbally, is that it?
Well, I think he seems to think he does, yeah. No, he owns Festival Republic, who are the festival organisers.
And where's he based?
I think it's a British company as far as I can see.
Oh, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. This is what he thinks of your beer, by the way.
I don't like the beer. Does that ever occur to anybody that I've tasted it, I don't even like it? Why would I invite them to be here? I don't even like the stuff. So, no, I'll choose what beer we have, and I hope people like it. I like what we've got.
You have to admire his sense of humour.
Well, I suppose you do. I mean, listen, I think he's been completely
disingenuous. We asked Melvin to come on because he's been on everywhere the last few days.
What did he say?
He's unchallenged. He's unchallenged. He's just publicising. But that's what he said. Let's listen. I love his accent. Let's listen to what he said about you.
I don't like the beer. Does that ever occur to anybody that I've tasted it, I don't even like it? Why would I invite them to be here? I don't even like the stuff. So, no, I'll choose what beer we have, and I hope people like it. I like what we've got.
So Melvin is telling us it's nothing to do with Heineken, the biggest beer company in the world, offering him shed loads of money to keep everyone else out. The only beer he likes is Heino.
Exactly.
Every product for sale in Electric Picnic, he's they're only there because he likes them.
Yeah, I mean, I presume he's tasted every single food and listened to every single act that goes in there. I mean, this is why I think it's just nonsense, because clearly the reason that Heineken are in there is because of the large amount of money they pay to be there and the exclusivity that they get with that. I mean, if I could just stand up for the quality of our beer as well,
I know,
we've won two gold medals. in the Lyon International Beer Festival. Our stout is the current champion stout of Ireland, okay, in Lough na Héireann. We were in Forest Fest a couple of weeks ago, which is a smaller music festival in Leash, but the organisers from Leash. Massive positive reaction to the beers there. People coming back to us all weekend.
The only thing you forgot there, David, you forgot to mention the name of your brewery.
So, well, it is Ballycocavan. Ballycocavan's the name of the brewery, but we have eight different beers. And again, I'm quite sure that Mr. Ben has tasted all eight of them and just doesn't like any of them.
It's irrelevant where the man lives is from. But does he drink in Stradbally?
I wouldn't think so. No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, sure, he's hardly here anyway. He's only really here when the picnic is on. And then they rock out.
He said he's done all the national stations.
Unavailable, I'd imagine.
Like the RSA. Deirdre O'Toole, Deirdre.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Well, congratulations. One of your children is playing at Electric Picnic.
Well, to be honest, the point, Joe, I just wanted to get across is, you know, on a positive note, it's an amazing platform for young, up-and-coming Dublin rock bands like the Sykes, who are absolutely amazing. Check them out on Sunday.
Okay.
And it's an amazing platform for young people. You know, there's also a young local girl, Eve Digby, they do DJ at it. And it's just amazing for them to get a wider audience because they're years doing the circuits, the work.
It's so tough.
It is tough. Wheelers of Wexford.
Are they being paid to be on? But people are paying £300 in to see them.
Well, they are being paid now. I don't know how much or whatever.
Well, are they getting accommodation?
I'm not sure. I know they will lug all their gear down and back. I'm not sure.
Tell us about the Sykes then. Come on.
The Sykes are absolutely amazing. They're amazing. They're a young, up-and-coming Dublin rock band. They're managed by Rory. They write all their own music. They practice so hard, Joe. They really do. And they're doing their time. You know, they started in Gibbers. Doing the circuit there, the Sound House, the Workman's, the Cellar, Whelan's, they've been on Dave Fanning.
Brilliant.
You know, but they really are, they're a great band and they'll rock the place on Sunday. So please, everybody,
well
check
done.
Them out.
And I think one of the local bands where I am in Clontarf, Fizzy Orange, I think, are they on Electric Picnic this year or next
year?
Are
they? Yeah.
Yeah, they're another great band. Yeah, Fizzy Orange, check them out. Check out. Now, can I ask you, Deirdre?
Yes.
Does your son make a living?
No, unfortunately not. And I tell you why, Joe, you know, they all have to work as well, you know, all of the band members. But to be honest, the radio stations don't play up-and-coming young Irish bands enough. They play the old established bands, you know, which is fantastic and they're established. But there's not enough radio play for up-and-coming rock bands. And then I suppose you have the likes of a platform like you have Simon Cowell over for boy bands. But if you don't fit into that genre or anything, it's very, very hard to get out there. You know, it really is. You know, and they work and practice.
And they used
to do.
I don't think they do now. They used to do the 2FM sessions with Ian Wilson and Dave Fanning.
Yeah, Dan Hegarty. Dan
is great.
They've been on Dave. Thankfully, he has.
But why? Well, like, this is also up to Commission Naman now, whatever they're called. This new Quango that's been set up. I think they have more employees at this stage than RTE have. But they give out the licences. Why don't they give out a licence specifically for a station that would play up and coming music that you know, when you go on to it, that's what you're going to get?
Amazing. That would be amazing. They write all their own. It's all their own music. You know what I mean? And it's absolutely amazing. And they would rock you. Maybe someday you'll play them, Joe.
In fairness, we don't play music, Deirdre. And if we don't play music, people tune in to Live Vent to hear you talking, not your son singing.
Deirdre, I'm prepared.
If you want to do a cover of one of your son's numbers from the Sykes, I'll let you sing it. Off you go.
I'd be killed now, Joe. my life is worth more.
I know. Well, wish them well. And all the up-and-coming bands, they're brilliant.
Thanks, Joe. Eve Digby, another young DJ from Lucan. Joe, thanks a million. The Sykes, Sunday. Well,
Deirdre, hang on, you've convinced me. Ladies and gentlemen, I think this is the Sykes. I think you recognise. Here they are.
the five of them there, they're great lads, you know.
Okay, gonna call the Sykes
and that, Joe.
Yeah, well done.
Thanks
well done, dear.
Sykes, Sunday.
Oh yeah, okay. I wish it's, and I love creativity, I love music, I love but the number of young people I meet, and including actors and actors in this.
Absolutely.
And artists, and it's just so hard in this country to make a few bob.
So but, hard. They
but
don't
this,
get any play.
But remember,
you know?
this man Melvin is making a few bob. Where are you, Melvin? Are you there, Melvin?
There you go,
what?
Melvin.
Tell us what you don't like, Melvin. Tell us what you don't like, Melvin.
I don't like the beer. Does that ever occur to anybody that I've tasted it, I don't even like it? Why would I invite them to be here? I don't even like the stuff. So, no, you know, I'll choose what beer we have, and I hope people like it. I like what we've got.
Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And I thought, I know that John Moylan made a very good point earlier about young people loving cars, and we have to. It's a legitimate and totally uplifting passion a lot of people have, and collecting cars and looking after cars. But we have a man on called John Osborne, and he wants to try and find. I don't think this car still exists. It's a navy blue E. It's a Mercedes. A navy blue E220 Mercedes reg number. Now, wait for this. It's a very memorable reg number. It's a 1766 high, H-I. Once, that means it's quite old, isn't it? Maybe 60s or 70s now. 1766 high. Is that Mercedes still in the care or are indeed on the road? His dad, the reason he wants to try and find it, it's because of sentimental value. His dad was a local doctor in Cashel in County Tipperary. He was an eye doctor, as they say, the community ophthalmologist for County Offaly. John Osborne was his name. He loved the car. Everyone travelled in the car. And the local, it was sold in 1979 through the local car dealer in Cashel, Martin Brown. It was a great, I don't know if the business is still there, but Martin was the man to go to. John's father, also got John, he died in 1988. Martin Brown passed away and the car dealership is no longer there. And what you might, there's one little feature in the car. When the guy was putting in the radio, because it didn't come with a radio in those days, he had a soldering iron. He placed it on the leatherette and promptly melted the centre of the front passenger seat. This is a scar, but it is still a distinguishing feature on Mercedes E230, reg number 1766 high. If you see that car, or if you... I think this man wants to try and make you an offer you can't refuse. He wants to try and get it back. Now, I think for a number of reasons, we looked up, I think it's Check Your Reg. It doesn't seem to be on Check Your Reg. But is it hidden in someone's barn or crushed or in a field or who bought it in 19? Now, given that yesterday on the programme, and indeed last week in another effort as well, we were able to find and reunite a couple who were engaged in the early 1970s, Giuseppe from Torino in Italy and Vera from North Dublin. It was a needle in a haystack, but we found them after 54 years and they're talking to each other. They were talking to each other on the programme yesterday. Are we able to find E230 Mercedes reg number 1766? Hi, Pat Murphy. Pat, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Now, you don't use cars. You use sloops and yachts and various other things, because we were mentioning, and we got great fun out of the Galapagos Island. You've been.
Right. Yes.
And have you been to that post box, that infamous post box?
Yes, we were in the Galapagos Islands in 2001, and we actually sailed around all the islands. We had a permit to sail around all the islands, so we have a great experience of all the islands on it. But the one in particular that we want to talk about is Santa Maria. That's the one that has the famous post office bay on it.
Okay.
And we anchored off the bay, and there was a tour operator guy came over to us, and he told us not to go ashore there, that your permit doesn't allow you to go into post office bay.
Okay.
And I couldn't believe this, because this post office bay was for sailing ships, not for cruise ships going backwards and forwards. So anyway, the next morning, early, there was no sign of any commercial people or tour operators. And mm-hmm. I got into my dinghy and I went over to my friend Malcolm in his boat, the boat Myrna from England. Okay. And we went ashore and we had a good look around and took photographs and everything else on it. But still kept an eye out to make sure there was none of the commercial guys coming in. And I posted two cards, one to my home here in Sutton and one to a good friend in Kilbarrick. Now, what we didn't do, we didn't put our boat names on the cards for fear of being prosecuted by one of these guys looking at it. And within 2 weeks, those two cards were hand-delivered here. There was a woman from New York was on a cruise ship, and she went ashore like they do with these tours, and she went through the mail, and she saw these two were from Dublin, and her husband, can I mention his name, was Dermot Hogan.
Yeah, of course.
Does work for fundraising for Beaumont Hospital, and he was coming over to Dublin, so she brought the two cars to New York,
okay.
Gave them to him, and he brought them over to Dublin here. And he gave my one into my house, and nothing would do him, but he got Northside people with him when he was giving it to my friend Neville Maguire. And Neville Maguire and Jean, his wife, appeared on the front of Northside people with being handed the card from the Galapagos. Now, that's what, 6,000 miles or whatever it is. All free. So that's my experience of the Galapagos post office bay. But the fact that that guy told us not to go ashore, and I mean, this was for sailors and not for cruise ships, guys.
And is there, I know you wrote a book about the journey, Pat, but I'm going back to the postal system. Is there any other place you visit where there is no postal system, like the Galapagos, obviously?
Not really, no. Now, by the way, on the book end of it, we had finished the book in March 2015, we finished the book. And that same month, Olivia was diagnosed with cancer, and we had planned to have it published for that Christmas, but I didn't have the courage to print it. All we've done is change the inside cover. Instead of being dedicated to our parents, dedicated to Olivia. So the book was never published. So people say I should publish it. There's a lot of good stories in it. So, but no, there was nowhere else that I was in. Vanuatu, very remote. Not great service there, post-wise, but it does work out all right. We did a couple of cars from Vanuatu, and it worked out okay, no problems.
Okay. And you, as I say, the book did come out eventually, didn't it? Of course,
it did. No, it didn't.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I didn't have the courage to get it printed, and we put a lot of work into it. And it's a very sensitive subject on it. But people said I should get it published, and I'm sure there's people out there that would help me to get it done with photographs and everything else on it.
Okay. I presume your circumnavigation travels, navigational endeavours are finished, are they?
Yes, kind of. But I mean, I still have the boat. It's in Hot Yacht Club. And I went through a rough time when Olivia passed away. I got a lot of help one-to-one with the hospice. But the one that helped me, Joe, and this is an interesting one, there was a crowd called Target, ran a bereavement course in Dunamead. And we went, I was gone for 6 or 7 weeks, and there were 7 of us bereaved in the room and 3 facilitators. So I wasn't the only one bereaved. These other people were bereaved. And we started helping each other. And that, Joe, was what saved me from doing something silly, because I was very close to doing something silly on it. And anyway, 2 years later...
What do you mean? Hang on. What do you mean you were very close to doing something silly?
I didn't want to live.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it was really bad. And that's what saved me when I saw other people in the same boat, excuse the pun.
Yeah.
But, and then 2 years later, a guy says to me, why don't you go out and socialise? I said, no, I don't go into pubs. He says, why don't you go on the dating site? Now, I'm 74 at this age. So I did go on a dating site, and I'm with a lady now from Boyle, 7 years, and that's been great. So I can't complain with life at the moment, Joe.
Okay, well, that's, and I'm because we all talk to people. Sometimes we don't know it, but we do talk to people who are going through dark times, and if we can try and convince them that there will always be something better. There will always be a new sunrise. Don't ever. And I know people do succumb, unfortunately, especially young men. But there are better days ahead. There are better days ahead.
But Joe, you wouldn't believe just how that group helped me to overcome my bereavement.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's worth hearing. Thanks, Pat. Pat is in Sutton, but he's from Dundalk, as you can hear from originally. That's Pat Murphy. Thanks indeed, Pat. I know people are asking us, someone rang in and said, are we going to talk about Kneecap, the movie, or whatever it's called? Now, I, for one, will not be going to see it. I've no interest in it. I'm sure they're brilliant and creative. I've read some of their stuff. It doesn't gel with me. And the only thing I want to mention today about Northern Ireland, and I know everyone seems to be raving about all the critics seem to be raving about Kneecap, but nobody seems to be go on about all the people who wear Kneecap for a start. And I know the three lads involved are musically very good. But the only thing I want to say about Northern Ireland today is on this day in 1998, the IRA left a £500 car bomb in the Market Square in Omagh. A town, as you know, in Northern Ireland, 29 people, including a mother with two unborn twins, were killed. I went up to Omagh the following day and spent the next few days up there. We did a number of programmes, and that, among other things, including the book I wrote, going up to meet families who've been bereaved, nearly 4,000 families. Every day in Northern Ireland, there are 10 families marking anniversaries on that day of people who've been killed in the Troubles. And that's just the beginning of it. I remember going up when I was writing the book with Freya McClemens, and it has seared me for life, talking to people who were victims of violence. And any attempt, as people know listening to me, and I'm not saying Kneecap are up to this, but any attempt to try and glamorise the Troubles or what went on just basically turns my stomach. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I mentioned earlier Ted Baker. They're in Dublin City Centre. They're in Grafton Street there where the gun was inadvertently. How that story has been blown up is beyond me. But anyway, and the gun was retrieved within 5 minutes by, as found by a staff member. Somebody wasn't going to grab it and go on the rampage up and down Grafton Street. But anyway, it's that time of year. And I mentioned Ted Baker closing, which had got no publicity whatsoever until we mentioned it today when we were contacted by a member of staff. They're closing basically in the next few days. Every single Ted Baker outlet in the country, be they in BT's, be they in Kildare Village or whatever, they're all closing. And that's good people losing their jobs. Hopefully they will move on. They weren't allowed to put up a note saying we're closing for whatever reason. Well, Dylan McGrath, according to the Irish Times, Dominic Coyle in the Irish Times, the last few minutes, Dylan McGrath, the celebrity chef, he's just announced that he's shutting down with immediate effect his two of his Dublin restaurants, Brasserie 66 and the Rustic Stone, are closed, gone now, effective immediately. Very successful restaurants in their day. And Dylan McGrath said, as you know, the hospitality industry has faced many challenges in recent years due to rising costs and economic pressures. We've made a very difficult decision to close Brasserie 66 and the Rustic Stone effective immediately, the 15th of August. Obviously, people have bookings or gift vouchers or whatever. I don't know what happened. Both have been very successful in Dublin City for a long, long time, but the time has come where we've decided it's simply not sustainable anymore. High costs, and I presume it's affecting every retail outlet, rates, various other... and I hope there are no creditors now for Dylan's. I think Fade Street Social, up the street there from the other two, that's... staying open. And I presume, because I know people have already made Christmas bookings, I don't know if it's in Brasserie, I presume they'll be redirected. But there's two more retail outlets, if you want, two more restaurants in Dublin gone within the last few minutes on the day that it was revealed that Ted Baker is gone, and the day that I know Brown Thomas do not want to hear this, but there is a backlash. I'm sorry, guys and gals who run the place, and I know you're a Chinese vulture fund that bought it for 4.6 billion and you're hardly interested in Dubliners or Irish people, because it applies everywhere in Ireland that BT's and Arnott's operate. That 60 cent for a paper bag is annoying people. We heard it about, I first said it at 20 to 1 on Monday, and then the papers picked it up. That 60 cent bag charge, paper bag charge, is annoying people. Una! Good afternoon.
Hello.
What, you say you won't be paying it?
No, I was in Eason's recently in the middle of July, and I was buying a picture frame.
Okay.
And the gentleman, it was going to be $19.99, and the gentleman asked me if they want a paper bag. And I said, well, yeah, sure, give us a paper bag. It's a present. Now, I did have other shopping bags with me because I was going to go to the supermarket as well. So I said, yeah. And I was about to give them 20 euros, but it was 20.09. So they're charging 10 cent for a paper bag. But at least the lady in Brown Thomas's, they advised her in advance. It wouldn't be that I'm penny pinching on the 10 cent. It's just that, you know, there's no need for it. And as the other lady said, you pay for it, then you bring it home, and then you have to put it in your recycling. You're not going to reuse the paper bag. Perhaps the Brown Thomas's ones, they're a little bit stronger. They've the cardboard and the ribbons on them.
Well, they're handy for putting the Christmas decorations up in the attic, aren't they? They are a lovely
bag.
But also, as somebody points out, can I find it? If somebody pointed out in the Irish Times letters page today, and remember, the Irish Times letters page is the most widely read page in that newspaper, believe it or not. A lot of people turn directly to the letters page, and they read the letters, and they're always fascinated. But there was one little, I thought was very pithy, and it was from, there was one yesterday from Louis Hogan, and why do shops charge for paper bags? Louis Hogan is formerly of this parish, of the same Louis. How are you, Louis? Great to see you. Great to read that you're in good fettle and as compassment as always and as sharp as always. He said that if Brown Thomas, you were carrying around a Brown Thomas bag and you're a vehicle for free advertising for Brown Thomas Arnott's and the like. If you're going to pay 60 cent for a bag, can you say to them, yes, I will take the bag, okay, but I want a non-branded bag. I want a plain bag. I don't want to be going around advertising for BTs, especially as if I'm paying separately for the bag. But anyway, we want to move. But is it like going into a coffee shop and saying the cup of coffee is 4 euro, whatever it is in Ireland, and it's 20 cent for the cup? There is a bit of that if you bring your own cup. Okay. Well, why don't you bring your own bag?
Well, that's what I'll do. I'll have the bag and I'll use it.
You know what I miss, Una, and you can't get them anywhere, are string bags. Do you remember the string bags?
For your vegetables and your fruit.
For everything. Yes. Everything you can get. You can get 6 litres of milk in a string bag. They're brilliant. They're absolutely brilliant. And they take up, you can put it in your pocket. Six, but anyway, I don't even know if you can get a string bag anywhere in the wide earthly world. Okay, you bring a bag with you. Is Tommy gone? Is Tom gone? Tom about the car. Thomas, are you there, Tom? Tom, come in to me.
How's
Tom.
It going?
What, the reg number is what? What was it again? 17.
Something
high. 1766. High, high. H-I for high. Yeah. What's your point?
If he goes to the local Garda station and gives him the reg, and he gets a sympathetic guard, he'll look up on the pull system or whatever you call it, and if the car is still registered and still taxed, he may be able to put them in with the owner.
Yeah, but hang
if
on.
It's not,
If it's not
registered, right?
Yeah.
He may be able to contact the last owner, he's not going to give him the information because of this GDPR. He probably won't be able to even know the time of the day, the week it is, because of GDPR. But if he gets a sympathetic one, the guard may be able to contact the last registered owner on his behalf.
Well, okay. Can I make a suggestion to you, Tom?
What?
Would you go to the guard estate? Because how can he prove he's nothing to do with the car? He's no proof. You could go to the guard station and say, I'm trying to... You say you'd have to persuade a guard to look up the pulse. But you could go to a guard station and say, can you find, what's it, 1766HI?
Yeah.
Okay? If you find that car through a friendly guard or whoever finds it, this man, who's John Osborne, who's looking for the car, okay, 1766HI, he is now saying, if you can find, you can help him find the car, he will give you €5,000 to donate to your favourite charity. What's your favourite charity, Tom?
Me?
Yeah, what's your favourite charity?
The hospice.
The hospice. Okay. Yeah, great.
The hospital and the Harold's Cross.
Obviously, it's very close. Well, John Osborne is now saying, if anyone can help, anyone can help him locate Mercedes, navy blue, originally, E230, reg number 1766HI. If anyone can help him locate it, okay, he will give 5,000 to their favourite charity. So if I was you now, Tommy, I'd go down, because anyone can go into the guard station, but as you say, there might be I'm sure there's GDPR. Does anyone know? That might incentivise people now. Does anyone know where 1766HI, a navy blue Mercedes reg, blue Mercedes reg number 1766, was bought in around the early 70s, sold in 1979 through Martin Brown, the legendary Martin Brown in Cashel car dealers, now gone. If you can help find 1766HI, Tommy, €5,000 to whoever finds it their favourite charity. Off you go. Joe at rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie at 51551 is our text number and the Leaving Cert results. You know, the A-level... and O-level results are out in Northern Ireland today, but the Leaving Cert results are out tomorrow week. Bernadette Hayden.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Joe.
And when is your Leaving Cert result out? Tomorrow week.
Tomorrow week, I hope.
And what did you study?
This year, Irish, Gaeilge.
Good. And what did you study last year?
Music.
And what did you sit in your Leaving Cert the previous year?
Oh, my previous Leaving Cert, I sat in 1958.
Brilliant. And why have you decided to go through it, to put yourself through it again, Bernadette?
Well, you see, I think it's good for the mind.
Okay.
I'm now in my 84th year.
Well done. And you've... How do you get to do Irish in your Leaving Cert? How do you apply, and how do you go in and did you go in and sit the paper like everyone else at the beginning?
Oh, I did. I advised in Newbridge College.
Yes.
My father did his Leaving Cert in Newbridge College in 1922.
Okay.
And my son in 1987.
Yes.
And my grandsons will be doing it, but Granny went in, yes. And I must say they were extremely welcoming there.
But hang on, your father did the Leaving Cert, the same spot where you did the Leaving Cert.
But it wasn't called the Leaving Cert at that time. It was called, you had to get the King's Scholarship because that's what you got if you wanted to be a primary teacher.
But he sat that exam 102, well, probably 101 years previously to you. Can I walk into a school and say I want to do Leaving Cert history?
Of course you can, and they will be delighted to enrol you, Joe. in any secondary school.
And how do I do it, through the school or through the Department of Education?
You sit down with all the students. It's all through the Department of Education. It has to go through the second level Department of Education. And who are extremely helpful, Joe.
Okay. And what do they ask you when you say, I want to do... Do they say, well, have you any evidence that you've studied the curriculum, or is this just a waste of time?
No. They presume that you've studied the curriculum. You wouldn't be taking an exam unless you were studying it. And they don't ask you the why or the wherefore of it
Do you have to pay, Bernadette?
For the last 2 years, it was free, I think, because of the pandemic, I think. There used to be a fee with it, but I think it may return.
Okay.
But the state did not ask for a fee, I think, because of the pandemic.
Yeah, brilliant.
They shouldn't.
But Bernadette, you're telling me you walked into this big exam hall in Newbridge.
I did.
Where the last time, well, your son and your grandson darkened the door, and your father darkened the door for a similar type exam 102 years previously. Did people not look around? Were you into? Did the invigilator say, "Oh, by the way, in case you're wondering who that lady of a different"?
Oh no, nothing, not a word. And the children were all saying, "Come on, we'll show you where." I was like Santa Claus in that school. They were keen taking my hand and bringing me to where I would sit. And yeah, they were delighted with me.
So what was the Irish exam like this year?
It was pretty challenging.
Wow.
Pretty challenging, yes. But I enjoyed it. I liked the filiach and the prose. That was grand. But, it allowed me really to wake up the vocabulary that was back in my memory. I went to an all-Irish Gaelscoil, but they weren't called Gaelscoils at the time, in Ennis.
Yeah.
Cláiste were at Ennis.
And did you have to...
With the Mersey.
But did you through the years study the? You had to find out what poets were on the.
I did have to get the curriculum. Oh yes, I did have to get all the books, and I did have to read them. But it came easy to me, because I was a primary teacher all my life.
Okay, and music.
I had been in the primary school, and during that time, I had to get my B.Ed. because as a national teacher, you couldn't do postgrad studies.
Okay.
Because you had a diploma. And so you had to go and get your degree.
So you sat, you did that. By the way, you're not worried about the results, are you? Bernadette.
That I'd pass. Because I thought it was very challenging.
Okay. Well done. Yeah. And you remember, did you do Irish in 1958, was it?
Oh gosh, yes, we did. Yes. And wonderful poetry, wonderful work. Queen Artie Lara, you know that yourself, McGraw Gadangin, who law the Vakahu.
Keep going.
Erchounthi van Variga, Hugmahul Aragut, Hugmacreep Tanavdit. Did you learn that?
What a beautiful bloss you have.
Yes, that's Queen Artie Lara, and it was written by Mairne Gonal, who was the daughter of Donal O'Connells from Derry Nairn.
Okay, and your voice reminds me, and she's passed now, unfortunately, of the beautiful, beautiful voice of the poet Maura McEntee, who was a great...
Great. Wonderful.
Okay.
Our beautiful language, Joe, we must try and pass it on, do the best we can for it. For the few years that are left to me, Joe, I will... really try and talk to everybody I meet and tell them they should go on the Joe Duffy Show.
And Bernadette, what about next year and the leaving cert?
Oh, Joe. I'm going to leave that to the babies that are doing it.
Yeah.
I think Granny should take a holiday during the leaving cert exam next year.
Okay. You're brilliant.
Thank you, Joe.
But Bernadette, you hardly know Queen Artie Lara off by heart.
I I know the first verse off by heart. But I know lovely poems off by heart, like they were that one of the poems was on Spalding Phonic, which I had studied myself.
Mm-hmm.
But the Cruppy Bocht, Sheen Ter Haven, Cleaver, the Honig, my Cruppy Bocht, Vion Drusco Traumerid, and Vipilir Tridocht. That's the first verse, Joe.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Will I give you the last one?
Yes, give it to me in total. Start, Bernard. It's beautiful. Your accent is beautiful, the language. Our national language.
Vi sé I vádjona oiti, vádjona vikis of a need. Is he in a inner, falka, eron veer fool slak in a lee? In some bohon in tle, vi ben a gull, is a cree. A queen, son a keel, and octyoka karashaki. A warher, nobby a queen, nobby a brisha the cree. Ni father go will he, daddy. She's August Lee Bushki. Ni Adam a vic, ni Adam. Talk not on moori macht. Bader ger posh the gunner to fain a vic an oct. Is dan she's an oitener hitche. Is pilair tree the oct. Nock shill hig era ain diorin. Son and croppy bocht. She
fantastic. And Crappie Bocht. Bernadette, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
As the line goes in Kina Adi Dira, Ma Kara Hu is my kid. Gotta meet a Mahagut, Bernadette. And Slan, I guess Slan. That's the wonderful Bernadette Aidan. Like the rest of us, like the rest, a lot of people worried. Not worried. Don't worry, please, about your Leaving Cert results. Everyone will do well. Everyone will do well. Go back to what Pat Murphy said earlier on, that whole thing about your mental health, that is the most important thing in our little wonderful rich tapestry of our life. Go to Míle Mahagat, Bernadette. joe@rt.ie. Okay, I thought I'd one more ad break. Okay, it didn't sound like. Where's Chick? Are you there, Chick?
I am, Joe. How are you getting on?
Good. What's the story in this card? You want the $5,000? 1766 HI. If you can help us find that car, the person who, the son of the man who used to own it, who bought it new in the late 60s or whatever, if you can help us find that car, he will donate 5,000 to the charity of your choice, which is very decent of him. 1766, hi, navy blue Mercedes E230. Any ideas, Chick?
Yeah, we should be able to do something there. Now, Joe, you're getting me on the hop. She's very persuasive.
Yeah.
And I was actually working, I had no knowledge, I wasn't listening to the radio at
okay.
all. So certainly, yeah, give me a number after the show there, Joe, and we should be able to hook him up to see if he's still alive.
Okay, and you reckon you've networks and ways of finding out?
Yeah, Joe, the Classic Car Club in Ireland is a huge scene. People don't realise, we're not involved in it, how big it really is, but there literally is, there's a number of other groups, IVVCC, and then there's loads of smaller groups, you know, local groups and car shows. They do car shows and they do runs and you organise events.
Magic. Well, if Chick, what's your favourite charity?
My favourite charity would have to be a cancer charity due to the demise of my poor mother last year, Lord of Mercy.
Okay. Well, as I say, this decent man has told us that if we help find the car, and obviously he has to try and get it back, but he's willing to buy it back. This is John Osborne. He will donate a finder's fee of 5,000 to the charity of choice, whoever helped him track it down.
Yeah.
Chick, it could be in a barn, could it not? It could be in.
So, another thing I'll tell you is this: I work in car sales for a lad called Liam Fitzpatrick, Monastreven Motors, down here in Monastreven. And when I get this amount of money, I can usually work.
Good man.
Work.
Well, there's a smell of money for a great cause, Chick.
It is a very good cause. The Irish Cancer Society, very good cause.
Okay, well, we'll know. If you can get cracking, 1766 HI, a navy. What's an E230 mark? Is that a two-seater or a five-seater?
Four-seater, probably be a petrol, I'd say, 220. A lovely car, actually. A very nice car.
Yeah, okay.
You were very, very uneasy since you had one of those in the early 70s.
Oh, that's true.
That's yeah, we're true. Really up there.
Okay, Chick, work away. Off you go. We'll find out by tomorrow. Where's Claire Flannery? I mentioned the string bag. Apropos of Brown Thomas charging 60 cents to advertise their bags. Claire, you say you can still get string bags.
Well, I bought one in... Hiya, Joe. I bought one in Class Above in Tipperary. But it's a nylon bag. It's similar to them.
No,
but it's a real stretchy bag.
Oh, is it?
It works the very same as the string bag. I just been shopping today now and I got all my vegetables with it. And the garden shop said to me, "You're not going to sell them," and I said, "Watch this space." For every single piece, I had pounding the carrots. I had three peppers. I had a leek. I had about 8 bananas. I had.
But you see,
broccoli.
I was okay, Claire. The reason it came into my head, I can tell you. By the way, you can put litres of milk, cartons of milk in it. You can put anything in a string bag.
Oh, you're cutting these as well, yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
stay there, Claire, because I have an idea. Grania, string bags.
Yes.
Where can you get them in your part of the world?
In Fishers in Newtown and Kennedy.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm Wicklow as well, so.
Oh, Wicklow.
Are you Wicklow?
Yeah. You see, because I had this stupid idea at the weekend. You know, the Olympics were on, and I was thinking if Liveline, some Friday when we lose the run of ourselves, we'd have a Liveline Olympics. And one of the competitions was how many litres of milk you could get into a... We'd have four or five. Many litres of milk you could get into a string bag. That's one competition. The other competition was how quick you can change the duvet cover. Okay. The other one is how quick and with a certain shop, how quick you can pack your own bags in Lidl. And then the penultimate game I wanted to do was I wanted Dublin Bus. And there was no drink involved. I wanted Dublin Bus to give us a bus outside here in RTE moving. And we would put people upstairs on the bus. And we'd have a competition of who could come down the stairs on the double-decker bus when it's going around the corner with a string bag full of milk cartons. And then the final competition was, you know, the new bottle top openers on the milk cartons.
Oh, yeah.
It was, we'd give everyone 20 cartons of milk and who could open them in the quickest time without spilling a single drop. I reckon it's impossible. The Liveline Olympics.
I don't think I'd be much good.
The Liveline Olympics coming up soon. Okay, Claire and Flannery, Claire Flannery and Grania Cord have string bags, and people say they're still around. Okay, back tomorrow 1:45. Brenda Donoghue produced. Jim O'Donoghue Martin is the researcher, and Anna Geary is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. The outlook just got even brighter with further reductions all summer. In store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.